The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are live today, and you can call and talk to me and my guest at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. And if you're not listening live, which many of you are not, and you have a comment or a question about this show or any other show, you can call our 24-hour voicemail line at 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. Let me tell you about today's guest. Ari Kardosh is an international coach, speaker, and best-selling author of Relationship Agreements, a simple and effective guide for strengthening communication, reducing conflict, and increasing intimacy to design your ideal relationship. She specializes in empowering people to choose their own adventure in relationships, career, and life. Prior to studying in San Francisco and Copenhagen to earn her certification as an integral coach, Ari graduated from the world's number one international business school and provided leadership within the tech industry. Having provided game-changing relationship coaching to top leaders at companies like Amazon, Google, and Microsoft, Ari now works with clients all over the world to help them fall more deeply in love with their partners, themselves, and their relationships. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Ari.
Thanks so much. I'm excited to be here, Tristan.
So how did you come to write this book? I see that you had this corporate background and you sort of specialized in relationships. But what made you decide, since there's so many books out there in the world on relationships, I need to write this one?
That's a great question. So my background is in leadership development, mostly at Amazon.com, and it was a really great experience. Most of my time I was coaching leaders and helping them with their career development and their team management and growth, and it was really wonderful. But I figured out that as soon as trust was established with our leaders that people became more vulnerable and open, and we'd talk more about what was happening outside of work and not just inside of work. Especially as things are going well with their careers, right? And I'd start hearing about how things aren't going so well at home, with their families, with their significant others, or their ability to find a significant other. And my background before business school was sexual psychology. So I started to apply some of what I'd learned before, and I realized that as I was coaching this person, I was coaching the whole person, and career was very much related to how things were going at home and how things were going in their romantic lives. And I was like, wow, this is fascinating. Well, I want to do more of this. And so I really focused on becoming a coach and looking at the whole person from an integral perspective. So at the end of the day, it was that these people are really passionate about being successful in all walks of life. And one of the things that kept coming up and over again was that people wanted to be able to have more clarity in their relationships, kind of like they do at work. You know, if you join an office and you're working for a manager, there are very clear expectations and rules of engagement. And I was like, I wonder what it would work if how it would work if someone created an agreement with their partner. And it wasn't rules, it was more around agreements that these people could have together. And a lot of times, the people I work with are paving their own way, are doing things that are off the beaten path. Could be ethical non-monogamy, it could be swinging in that form, or polyamory, I mean, it's all over the board. And I'd heard about relationship agreements, and I was like, well, I'm going to try this myself. So I did, and it was mind-blowing and game-changing for my own life. And pretty soon, people were asking me about it, like, well, what is this for you? And I decided, well, this is wonderful, and I can tell you about it, and it's not a one-size-fits-all thing. So as I started coaching people about what I was doing, I learned that there were many different ways that were working for them or could work for them, and people were really responsive and gave me some great feedback and asked me to teach a class on it. So for several years, I taught a class about relationship agreements and just learned so many lessons from the people I was working with and heard from, and to the point where people said, hey, do you have this in written form anywhere? I was like, no, maybe one day I'll write a book. And finally, a couple of years after starting to write a book, I did. I finally got this out there. And it kind of changed for me in terms of, you know, what do you want to put out there? And for me, it was, I really wanted to give people a bridge, this connection to their whole life. How can you use agreements and talk to each other as consenting adults who can make up their own decisions, killer right there in many different forms? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And it's interesting because we had someone talking about relationship anarchy on the show last week.
And, oh, great.
This is sort of... This is how I want to describe it to listeners. This book has like the elements of consciousness and compassion of relationship anarchy, but it's so organized that I feel like it brings some structure to people who, like me, for example, who like structure and who like organization. I feel like it sort of marries those two concepts because the book is so well organized, like you really do take everyone like step by step by step. I feel like that's one of the strengths of this, is that there's no confusion about what you want people to do. Once you give them the container and say, hey, do this exercise, or hey, think about this, they can go off and do whatever they want, like you said, right? One size does not fit all.
Completely.
But there's
tools in here. And one of the things I always tell people, great tools. And one of the things I always tell people is, you know, take what works for you and get rid of the rest. So this book is hopefully chock full of helpful things that apply to you wherever you are in your relationship.
Right. Now, one of the things that you suggest, which I absolutely love, is on the journey to making a relationship agreement, and you talk about people who are romantically involved, who have love relationships, but also say, hey, this can apply to all kinds of relationships. You suggest that someone makes a personal agreement before a relationship agreement. So tell me about that.
Sure. So in my coaching practice, when I'm working with clients, it's not just couples or not just people in a romantic relationship. A lot of people are wanting to work on themselves as an individual. And it doesn't really matter the topic. It's getting to know yourself and going deeper and really having a deep sense of self-awareness that I find brings so much strength to all other walks of life, especially in relationships. If you show up knowing who you are and your partner shows up fully knowing as much as they can of who they are too, the way that you progress together is just magical and powerful. So in terms of personal agreements, I learned about this, from a couple different people. I think in the book I have an example from Connie Minx's work online, polyweekly.com. And but I've also seen other examples from people in different communities where it's an exercise to diving deep into your own soul. And who are you? Where do you come from? What kind of things are important for you to share and communicate? And you don't have to do this for someone else. This is an activity for yourself. It's a beautiful look at, see how well you understand where you're at in life, where your hang-ups might be, what your family of origin is for a lot of different topics. And it's really a powerful exercise that I think people can benefit from.
And then you go on to explain this concept of FRED, which I think is really important. I think your co-writer explains the FRED, but let's talk about FRED and what FRED is.
Sure. People seem to love or hate FRED. It's great. So FRED is this beautiful concept I learned from two people I founded an intentional community with several years ago. And they had on their calendar every Saturday morning that they were going to take Fred to the zoo. And I was like, who the heck is Fred? Because neither of them were named Fred, and I didn't know any Freds. And I said, so who is this? I said, well, Fred is our relationship. Okay, say more. So, well, Fred is, you know, we thought about our relationship and what would it look like if we were to, like, give it a physical form. And our relationship is named Fred, and he's a 3-foot-high furry blue monster. Like, oh, okay. So, yeah, it's important for us to view our relationship as a separate entity outside of ourselves. It's not just about me. It's not just about you. It's about this thing we're creating together. And how do we be very conscious in taking care of it? How do we feed it and nurture it and help it grow instead of just letting it become stagnant or die off? I thought that was just such a beautiful concept. I said, hey, you guys, can I make a friend? And they're like, yeah.
Well, it's this notion.
I've used it with so many people. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's this notion that the relationship is itself something, right? That you're not necessarily, like, you're doing things, you're making choices, you're deciding things based on not just what you want or what someone else wants, but what is nurturing and feeding the relationship, the dynamic between the two or more people.
Yes.
Okay, we've got to take our first break. How did that happen? I don't know how that happened.
That was so fast.
Okay, that was really fast. We're going to take a break. We're going to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, we are going to dive way deeper into this incredible book, Relationship Agreements, and talk more with Ari. So don't go anywhere.
Streaming live. The leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Listen, there is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning Expert Guide Sex Education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I want to remind you that you can call us at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. You can also leave a message with a question or a comment on our 24-hour voicemail line, 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. I'm talking today with Ari Kardosh, about her book, Relationship Agreements. Now, one of the concepts that is talked about a lot in both monogamous and especially in non-monogamous relationships is the idea of setting ground rules and boundaries. And you have some particular ideas about rules versus agreements.
I do. Yeah, so the way I define it in the book is that rules are set up by more of an authoritarian figure. What your parents do for you as a child to help keep you safe or because they can. And it's they're usually disciplinary actions taken if you don't follow those rules that were given to you. Whereas agreements are decisions made and boundaries made by two or more consenting adults. And together you can decide what will happen if there's a transgression and how to heal from that and move forward. So I think there's a big difference, and people often say, I don't want any rules in my relationship. I hear you, but there are agreements that are happening all the time, whether they're spoken or not. And the power in vocalizing them and agreeing them together can really help move a relationship forward with less surprises and more harmony, which I find is really powerful.
You know, I think that's a really good point that people who say, oh, I don't want a sort of written relationship agreement. I don't need a relationship agreement. They already have agreements in place. They're just
totally
not articulated, right? And so, and often people do violate those agreements, and sometimes without knowing it, right? They didn't know that they failed to meet some kind of expectation because the expectation was never put out there in words.
Exactly.
But it was something maybe by default that our culture says, like, well, we've been together this long, so I thought you would, you know, save Valentine's Day for me, but you didn't. And what's that about, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't give people the freedom to change. Like, you've always saved Valentine's Day for me, and you didn't this year. Why? And maybe there is a good reason why they want to do something different, but there's not much flexibility in the unspoken assumptions and expectations that we have. So having the ability to write down your agreements and change them as you do and as your relationship grows and changes gives you more agility and more freedom, which I think people are surprised to find. Like, oh, I thought I wrote down it as a legally binding contract and I was going to have to get a divorce if I broke one of the rules. I'm like, no, it's kind of the opposite. It's coming together and being a dance in a way with your partner in a new way.
And I think we take for granted some of our expectations of our partners that have sort of sunken into our consciousness. We don't even know what we're expecting until they don't give it to us. And then we're like, no, you were supposed to do that, but I never actually said that.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to sort of deprogram your brain from these things that we learn all around us in the media, in our culture, about how people are supposed to behave in partnership and what's okay and what's not.
Exactly. And if you are choosing an open relationship or anything less mainstream, then you don't even have any really great examples out there. I mean, there are more and more each day that you can find. We have to go hunting for them, and are they great examples or not? So this is really a tool for helping you create what you want.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the trickiest things to navigate in relationship, especially open relationships, because this question comes up again and again at my workshops and on email for me, is this issue of disclosure and how much you want to share with your partner, especially about another partner or another connection or another relationship. And you put these two metaphors in place that are really beautiful. Don't ask, don't tell, which most people understand kind of right off the bat. And then the fire hose. But let's define both of those. Don't ask, don't tell, and the fire hose version. And then your suggested way of dealing with this.
Sure. So don't ask, don't tell is probably what you think it is. Everything is a secret. And it's actually more of the accepted mainstream way of doing things, which is more along the lines of cheating, I would say. But it does work for some people. But I'm not going to tell you that I'm going on a date. I'm not going to tell you that we're, you know, anything that's going on. Fire hose method is just the opposite. You know everything about the person. You have access to their calendar, and you share all the information. And maybe the person goes on a date, and they come back home, and they just spray you with this entire fire hose of information of how great it went physically, emotionally, spiritually, and maybe you weren't ready to hear all of that, but you're getting it all and you're trying to drink from the fire hose as quickly as you possibly can. And that's what I see a lot of relationships trying to do, is one or the other. And it didn't work for me, and it didn't. I haven't seen it work extremely well in either case for a lot of people that I've worked with. So we created something very different. So we call this Inquire Within. And it's putting the power of the receiver to control the information that they're getting. So let's say, Tristan, you and I go on a date. And you and I are in a partnership, and you've just gone on a date. And you'd come home from your date, and you'd say, "Oh yeah, I just had this date that you knew I was going on, and is there anything you want to know?" I say, "Oh, that's great. How was it?" It was terrific. You know, we went to dinner and a movie. Oh, that's terrific. At this point, I'm going to pause and just do a quick self-check of how I feel emotionally and what I'm ready to hear for. Maybe I had a bad day at work, and I don't want to hear a lot more details of the date at this moment. Or maybe everything's great and I feel really grounded and I'm super curious to find out what happened. I say, "Oh, did you guys get any time to be physical together?" And you say, "Yeah, we did." "Oh, great. I'm in a really good place. Can you tell me more about that, whatever you're open to sharing?" And you would go to the next chapter stop. So each time you're doing a chapter stop, now you're going to say, "Oh, well, we cuddled on the couch and then we made out and then we ended up sharing oral sex." And then if it's in our agreement and I feel comfortable hearing more details and it's okay with you and the person you're on a date with to tell me more of the juicy details, fantastic, you get to do that. But the whole time, these chapter stops are being made by you, the person who's giving the information, and I, the receiver, am asking for what I am prepared to hear. And at any point in time, I can ask for more information. So if today isn't a good day, but I have questions that come up later on, I can ask. And the one caveat that I always stress is, this holds true unless there's something that is that could possibly put me in danger, a health risk. Maybe there's somebody mm-hmm. had an STI and you interact with them, and I just want to have a choice about how that impacts my body.
Right, right. But this is interesting because it's like instead of me making the assumption that I know the parts you want to hear, which again are like maybe the parts I'd want to hear, but not the parts you want to hear. Instead of making that assumption, it's like you answer the questions really straightforwardly and you don't like give up information that hasn't been asked for.
Yeah.
Which and, is just know, a really fascinating really like strategy.
Yeah. and some people love to celebrate other parts that we're asked about. And you can always say that. You can be like, "Hey, there's some other stuff I want to share with you. When you have space to hear this, let me know. I'd like to talk more and tell you about X detail." And that's very different. So mm-hmm. I just want to throw it out there. We've played with this a lot, and it just gives people a lot of freedom to be responsible for what they're taking in and processing and able to process, and then go back and share that joy with their partner or partners.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of the really practical sort of skill sets that you put forth in this book. There are a lot of them. There are exercises and all sorts of really cool sort of interactive things that you can do at the end of each chapter of the book. Just want people to know that, which would be just a fascinating thing to sit down with your partner or partners and go through, because it gives you a real language to talk about things you, again, may not even know that you're taking for granted or that are going unspoken, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have an entire chapter on navigating conflict. This is really both useful and bittersweet for me to read. It's interesting because it's like it's one of the number one things that I think can how you deal with conflict, right? Sort of says a lot about the working parts of the relationship. If you can fight and if you can fight fair or if you can't, right? And you lay out some basic steps for how to navigate conflict, which I think are really important. So tell me about some of those steps, like, or one of them.
Sure. So I would just say it's the mindset is one of the biggest things that is really important to recognize. We all come to this battlefield with different tools and techniques that we were taught from our caregivers or other people around us. And chances are they didn't work super well for you or parents or caregivers. And yet we expect them to work really well with our significant other others. And so for me, it's really important to just say, hey, there are different ways of doing things, and I want to put you and your beloveds on the same page. So it's really important for you to learn a tool that feels awkward and clunky and takes you out of your comfort zone, but puts you both on the same page, so you're speaking the same language and you're able to understand where each other are coming from instead of being angry and pissed off all the time that your partner doesn't understand you. So it's a chance to share stories and where that family of origin is, where that trigger came from, that probably caused the fight in the first place, because most cases, it's not actually about your partner leaving the toilet seat up. Mm-hmm. It's actually about something that happened when you were 16 with your parent, you know. And so talking about that can reduce the conflict or take it away completely and give you guys the same tools to come in to understand each other, which is so powerful and beautiful. And I stress a lot of wonderful tools in the book, such as Imago Dialogue and the Gottman Institute's Aftermath of a Fight or Regrettable Incident tool. I love that. Or using nonviolent communication. There are so many wonderful tools out there, but these are a few to get people started.
And you make a really important point, which is it takes clients an average of 8 times practicing each tool before they feel comfortable using them and can comfortably reap the long-term benefits from them. I just feel like that's a really important point, because the other thing is you're trying out, you're changing like the culture of the relationship when you're trying out these new ways of communicating, and you're not going to get it right like the first few times, or you're not going to get it completely right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I saved my like step-by-step checklist of here's what we're going to talk through next on my phone so my partners and I could pull it up and go through a fight when our emotions were calmed down, and we can use this tool and be like, oh, okay, we're going to use it. And by the end, we're like, I'm so glad we used it. And I watch that time and time again with everybody I work with.
And it reminds me of, I've always said this, that I, in my relationships, often have like an argument safe word, which is holdover from my kinky life, which is just that when I feel like something's getting too heated and it's just not going in a productive direction, and you can feel that, you can notice it, and you can be like, okay, this is not going to go anywhere good and nothing good is going to come out of this. Either person gets a safe word, right? So we can just stop.
Right.
And like take a break.
And you
don't have to sort of explain it or ask for it or be like, I think we should slow this down. I think we shouldn't talk about this. Maybe let's postpone this. You just safe word and everyone goes, okay, done. And everyone should have a safe word.
I agree. And two little things that are tips for you with that safe word. I totally support the safe word. Another option is also creating a safe signal. Sometimes you're so angry, you just can't say a word that's nice. So you're doing a timeout signal or making a little heart shape with your hands or whatever it might be to be like, okay, we have to stop now. And then the other thing is take a minimum of 20-minute break, because it takes a minimum of 20 minutes to flush your system of all of the chemical combination that's going through it for a fight, flight, or freeze. So you can come back as a more sane and sober person after taking a break from each other.
Okay, on that note, we have to take a break from each other. Well, no, we have to take a break from the audience or something like that. I want to remind you all that the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Visit their boutiques in New York, LA, and Chicago, and enjoy their free weekly workshops, often in the Pleasure Ed program. Experience sex ed in a fun, non-judgmental, and supportive environment. Whether you're improving your oral sex skills or learning the proper way to wield a whip, the Pleasure Ed program has classes for all experience levels, orientations, and interests. And when you go to a class, you get 15% off your purchase that night in any of the stores. Go to pleasurechest.com for the class schedule, and let me tell you what's coming up. March 25th in Chicago is the Warm Happy Hour. That's tomorrow night, and there's going to be refreshments and cool stuff, and you're going to get to meet the creator of this new product to the market called Warm. I highly recommend you go. March 29th, there's a screening of Queer Porn Americana with filmmaker Chelsea Poe. March 29th in Los Angeles, Suck It, Lick It, Love It with Chris and Carly. March 25th in New York City, the 6th anniversary Red Umbrella Project fundraising gala. So this is the only event on this list that is not free, because you know all their workshops are free. This is actually a fundraising gala for Red Umbrella, which is an incredible sex worker organization. March 26th, Fisting with La Milani, and March 29th, Rough Sex for Beginners with one of my favorite educators, Felice Shays. So let's take a break. Digest all that, and we will talk about relationship agreements when we get back.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Listen, there is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off-limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Today, I am talking with author Ari Kardosh, who wrote Relationship Agreements, a simple and effective guide for strengthening communication, reducing conflict, and increasing intimacy to design your ideal relationship. So, Ari, I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to set you up to answer it anyway. Why are check-ins so important?
Now I want to hear your answer. Well, I personally believe that check-ins are a way for people to stay connected and grounded in the heat of a moment and just to be on the same page with life and kind of be able to, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm dating myself, but if you ever watch Saved by the Bell, Zach Morris was able to just time out and like talk to the audience, and our relationships can really use that sometimes. So if you're in a spot where you're like, I just need to get a quick check-in with you, a quick moment to tell you what's up, can we do that? We're going to say time out. Does this work? Are you able to do a talk now about this thing that's coming up for me? If not, when can we do it? Let's set it up. Let's make time tonight, like 9 o'clock when the kids go to bed or whatever it might be. And it lets there be more room to breathe and move through life together instead of holding on to this thing the whole time, getting more and more upset about it.
Okay, but let me tell you what it's like to be in relationship with someone who runs on the anxious side. When you say, I want to have a check-in at 9 o'clock tonight, and it's like 5 o'clock, then their little brain starts like turning over and over and over again about what could this be about, what's going on, what did she have to talk to me about. How do you prevent that?
Yeah, so there are a couple different things that I suggest people play with. There's no moo-moo for a relationship. There's no one-size-fits-all. So for a lot of folks that I've worked with, they've tried things that have worked, including saying, okay, here's the big, broader topic so that you're not trying to figure out what it is all day. Like, I just want to talk about a potential change at work, and I'm nervous about it. Or on a scale of 1 to 10, like, I am feeling X number upset about this situation that, you know, you told me about earlier today, and I want to talk about it. So it's giving some strength and weight to the topic that the person, you know, may be like, oh, it's a 3. There's not so much something to worry about, but I need to talk about it with you. Mm-hmm. Or is defining the topic so they know what's coming and they can think about it that way. And check-ins don't work for everyone. You know, if, like you said, if you have a really anxious partner and that's going to just make things spin out of control instead of actually help later on, it's a decrease stress, if it's not going to decrease stress then maybe that's not the right technique that you want to try, but I encourage people to give it a shot a few times first and see if it does. A lot of times they can sense that there's something wrong anyways, and they're already starting to spin. But giving them context and a time so they know we're going to digest it together can be really relieving.
Yeah, and you can just sort of put it to the side. I mean, I think I appreciate the ability to say, okay, this needs to be dealt with, but like right this second, these other things are like more pressing, but I want to deal with this. So let's like park it over to the side and go back there, you know, pretty soon, not like a week or two, but we can't do it right this second. And then the other thing that strikes me about this book is you have this really interesting like way that people should check in on a regular basis. This is more like a check up, I guess, right? I mean, you emphasize that these relationship agreements are living, breathing things, and they have to change and grow, and you have to remain curious. And so you say, like, set aside some time to actually just check in about your relationship agreement and your relationship, and that should be on a regular basis, right?
Yeah. You seem very proactive.
And it seems like, I mean, I feel like it's really funny because I feel like, you know, mainstream self-help would say, oh, you have to do a date night or you have to like have a weekend away where you guys just concentrate on each other, blah, 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 blah. And that can be a good solution for people, you know, because we have this super busy lives. But you're actually making it much more specific and intentional. We're actually going to go through the relationship agreement and talk about what's working and what's not.
Yeah. Yep. And we do so in the big check-in, right? The annual physical exam. I encourage people to do once every quarter or every 3 months three to four months for most people work. Sometimes every 6 months. It really depends on you and your relationship that you have and how deep it is and how often needs a checkup. But really we're going to look at this agreement together and you're doing a retroactive if you've done this before. So what worked in the past or what didn't work? And what do you want to change? And then looking forward to the future. Okay, well, where are we going? Where am I going? Where are you going? Where are we going? Which makes a big difference.
And why do you think this stuff is so hard? I mean, because it sounds so simple and straightforward, but the majority of people don't do it. Why?
Yeah. That's a great question. I think that most people I've spoken with, and I've spoken with hundreds of people around the world, either during speaking engagements or coaching, and I think most people begin relationships and continue relationships with really beautiful intentions, but we were taught such crappy tools or no tools, and we're stuck in whatever place we were in at that period of our lives when we were learning the tool. So maybe I learned that throwing a tantrum works really well as a toddler, and it did. So it might still work as a 37-year-old adult in this relationship. And people try it. There are other ways to do things now that you're older and wiser and you can make your own decisions and you can try new things and be curious together. So I'd say, you know, why do we do this? Well, I think we just don't often explore other ways of being or other ways of challenging each other and growing together and having gratitude. I feel like we're giving up on relationships when things get tough and they forget to hold that gratitude in their hearts for how beautiful the journey has been together. And things are going to get hard on a really worthwhile journey. You know, Moses grows through pain. And so growing through pain together can be a powerful game changer for you and your relationship. You just got to keep the check-ins and keep trying new tools and continue communicating.
And I'm wondering how people can use this, transfer this to other relationships. Because I also feel like, you know, when you know that person who was really close friends with someone and then it seemed like they broke up, but they were friends, they weren't romantically involved. But it seemed like there was this dramatic breakup. So you're like, oh my God, what are the details there? I mean, what are some ways to sort of transfer this into other like serious or significant relationships in your life that may not be partnerships?
Yeah, I have actually helped people create relationship agreements just for themselves and how they're going to live their lives, and for friends, and for sticky situations of family members when two different family members are open to creating one, which has been really cool. And then a couple for people going through divorce, and especially with children, you can make this into a co-parenting agreement. How are we going to show up in this child or children's lives as co-parents, even though we're not romantically involved anymore, which puts you on the same page and the kids can understand. You can still have a fun thread in that. So in each case, it's a lot of the same tools. It's just a different twist on them. So how do you have those regular check-ins? How do you avoid surprises in your communication? How do you make sure that people have equal say and that all voices are heard and that there's agility over time?
And when you've worked with clients around relationship agreements, what do you think are the hardest parts for them to grapple with in a relationship agreement?
Yeah. You know, the funniest thing is, I think, is getting started. And I mean, it's not so funny. This is a challenging concept for a lot of people. And oftentimes, especially when working with couples, there's one person who's like all for it. Like they've been waiting for this book or this topic to show up and they just can't wait to write it all down. And then there's another person who says, oh God, no, I can't write it down. Like, you're going to take me to court over this. So it's getting people on the same page and getting the ball rolling of saying, okay, well, talking about the agreements you already have, even though you haven't talked about them before, let's find those together. Let's start writing them down and just see what's there. And we're understanding we're going to do this in Google Docs so we can change and edit and revise and it's going to be okay. And then let's talk about what will happen, the thing you're afraid of. And the thing most people are afraid of is, what happens when I screw up? What happens when my partner screws up? Because we're human. We're all going to screw up at some point in time. And how do we build some guardrails there for forgiveness and talking and dialogue about what happened and the power and ability to transform the relationship to a friendship or just ending the relationship if it was a really serious abuse that just, you know, you can't move through it. But it's already having that discussion, so you know that there is a possibility of moving forward together when people mess up, and there's a really good chance of doing it. We have the tools to do it in place.
Okay, we're going to take another break. This is flying by. I don't know how. I don't know why. It just is. Okay. So stay with us. We're going to talk more about where to begin. If you're out there thinking, okay, maybe I want a relationship agreement, we're going to ply Ari for details about where to start. So don't go anywhere. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Listen, there is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life.
Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off-limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Before we get back to the show, everyone, do you know about the Open List? The Open List features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and others who are poly-aware, kink-competent, sex-positive, queer-affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They have experience with GLBTQIA folks, genderqueer and gender variant folks, sex workers, activists, and diverse cultural communities. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. If you want to find a provider, or you are a provider and would like to be listed on the open list, go to openingup.net and click on open list. Okay, welcome back to Sex Out Loud, and welcome back to Ari Kardosh as we talk again about her book, Relationship Agreements. Okay, so let's say you're at the very beginning of something. It's something new, and so you haven't, like, you haven't yet really, maybe you've made a few agreements about, say, for sex or monogamy or exclusivity or whatever, but you're interested in creating a relationship agreement. Where do you think people should begin? Should they begin by reading this book and doing all the exercises together separately? What do you think?
I think that's a great question. I'm a hands-on learner. So my honest answer is going to be start by contacting me, because I think we can move a lot faster and we can ask a lot of questions by doing a coaching session over video. However, books are freaking awesome, and this is meant to be a resource for people to take with them and have on hand whenever they want. So I would say start by getting a couple copies of this book, or get one that you're going to share. There's also an e-version. But look at it and decide how you want to move through together. And I would say do the work separately. So you say, okay, we're going to do chapter one. And you're going to read through it, and you're going to do the exercises individually, and then have a time during your date night or one of your date nights to actually talk about, okay, well, what did you learn? What came up for you? And give a lot of flexibility to just see where that conversation leads, because this is a big exploration process. It's all about communication, curiosity, and being really clear with who you are.
And so what would you say to someone who says, I don't know that I know everything that I want? Like, if I could write the contract myself, I kind of don't know where to start.
Yep. So this is another great question. There are some tools in the book that talk about how to get started. It is not the workbook that it will probably be out one day. But that's why I say, hey, talk with me is my number one advice. But in the book, I do give some ideas of, you don't have to know all the things about yourself, but being able to communicate that you don't know all the things is a terrific place to start. There are some exercises in there that I would recommend for every person, whether in relationship or not, around things like your values. What do you value? Most people don't take a lot of time to think about that. If you value community, then you're going to be focused on building those relationships, and that's going to play a part in your own romantic relationships. So I would say go through the exercises that are in the book, and those will guide you in terms of helping you make some decisions or at least gain a little bit of clarity to foggy areas. You can also drill into where do you spend a lot of your time? What are the things you wrestle with? And it's going through the exercises individually and then coming back, I think, each time. And it would be difficult to not know the triggers that your parents gave you in some of the questions, right, which will help your partner understand you more. Mm-hmm. So I'd say beginning there is the place to start.
And so say you've been in a committed relationship that's, and you're both fairly woke people, for 5 years, for 10 years, for 20 years. How do you introduce this in such an established relationship, like this concept, if you've never had a written agreement before?
Yeah. I find that there are two groups of people who are in mature relationships that really benefit from this tool or are able to adopt it into their current relationships. One is there's something going wrong. Something isn't working anymore. And that's normal for every relationship. There's some sort of conflict that will always be there. And then the other group of people are those who are continually investing in their relationship and in themselves, and they want new tools all the time anyways. So with both these groups, it's really easy to get folks to jump on board and say, okay, here we go. Well, this is a new tool that will either save our relationship or give us new awareness. It's the people in between who things are pretty comfortable that I find the biggest challenge with. If you're comfortable and you don't feel the need to grow and things aren't falling apart, they're just kind of like, you know, you come home every night, you sit on the couch, and you watch the same TV show, and then you go to bed at the same time, and you might say a few words to each other, but that's it. And you're both content with that, but there's this little itch that maybe it's not so content. That's where we start to drill in a little bit more to how do we get this into your hands and get you excited to do it. And oftentimes, it's giving voice to the people. So with the individuals who are feeling really stagnant, I'll start asking deeper questions of them to say, hey, if you could tell your partner one thing that you wish they could hear, maybe you stopped saying a while ago because they couldn't hear you then, what would that be? And all of a sudden, it's like opening the gates to what happened in the past and can bring out some really beautiful memories and some really hard ones and start to create more space for maybe we do want to do something different. Maybe we do want to be more intentional and apply this. Maybe we want to talk about where we are and where we want to go instead of just being right here.
That's amazing. I mean, wow. If I had these tools before, I might have lived a different life. That one question, just like what's something you want your partner to hear that you feel like they haven't heard, or you've said it before and they still haven't heard it.
Is
an intense place to start, but a place that really could open up an entire dialogue. I mean, I totally see that.
I think at the end of the day, we all just want to be seen and we all want to be loved. How can we do that for ourselves and for our partners?
Yeah. Amen. Okay. Let me tell people how they can get a hold of you, because they are obviously going to get a hold of you. Ari Kardosh is the author of Relationship Agreements, a simple and effective guide for strengthening communication, reducing conflict, and increasing intimacy to design your ideal relationship. That book is out right now, and I do want to spell her name for you so that you can, you know, use the search engines. Her first name is E-R-I, and her last name is K-A-R-D-O-S. This will also come in handy when you go find her on social media. So you can find out more about the book and her coaching at relationshipagreements.com. Follow her on Facebook at Ari Kardosh Coaching, on LinkedIn under her name, and on Twitter at @Ari_Kardosh. Thanks so much for being on the show and for writing this book. I think it's a really good tool for people and anyone who's looking for really clear strategies and exercises should pick up this book.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking with you.
I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when my guest will be artist, activist, performer, Kitty Stryker. We're going to talk about their latest activism in the world, and we're going to talk about porn, and we're going to talk about body positivity, and we're going to talk about the Consent Project. Kitty has a lot going on, so there'll be a lot to discuss. Until then, you can get me on Facebook at Ask Tristan. You can get me on Twitter at Tristan Taramino and the show on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. And in the meantime, between now and then, I'll be here. I'll be online, and you'll be hopefully starting a conversation with your partners, not just about sex, but about your values and your relationships. I hope this episode and this book inspires you to do that. See you next time.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.